So this is where we left off last year. And the second you see what the piece is about, you're going to say, how untimely. B'Rosh Hashanah. Alright, the piece starts B'Rosh Hashanah. So maybe Rabbi Nachman's already trying to get us thinking about where we want to be next Rosh Hashanah. That could be part of his plan here. But you'll say to me, Moshe Tzvi, you knew this was the next piece. Why didn't you push to do this piece at the end of the last semester? This way at least... Or maybe do it before Rosh Hashanah. You knew we were going to get back to Sicha Saran, so take one day and do Sicha Saran. The truth is, we're going to see that this piece, I think, is very shaykh to what's going on in the world, the frat in Eretz Yisrael right now. And Rabbi Nachman says the following, B'Rosh Hashanah tzrichim lios chacham. A person needs to be smart. A person needs to be wise in Rosh Hashanah. She'yachshuv rak machshavos tovos, she'yeti v'Hashem yisbarach imanu. V'chul. A person needs to go into Rosh Hashanah with very, very positive thoughts. We learned last year, if you remember, Sichos Aran Ches. It's also in Memvav. It's also in Samach Beis. If you just take a look quickly, just turn back to Sichos Aran Ches for a moment, a little Chazara. In Sichos Aran Ches, Rabbi Nachman says, when a person learns about negative things, a person learns Hilchos Avelis, for example, you don't want to immerse your mind too much. Even though it's Torah Kedosha, it's very halig, it's areas of halacha that we need to know. But Rabbi Nachman says, Ki amachshava yesh la tokef gadol. Where one's mind is a very significant thing, because the machshava has a tremendous strength. Our thoughts have a very great power. We quoted from Rav Tzadok at the time. In the machshava's chorot, Rav Tzadok says, Ha machshava hi ikra adam ki adua. The machshava of a person is the essence of the person. Take a look at Sichas Aran Mem Vav. We learned the piece last year when we were learning Ches. Tzarech lishmor es ha-machshava ma'od. A person needs to guard his machshava very, very much. Ki b'machshava yachol yos nase dover chiyuni mamsh. Because from a machshava, a person creates. The kalach of machshava literally has the ability to create things. If you remember, we quoted the Marsha on Makos on Daf Yud, where the Marsha says that every machshava, dibor, or ma'isa creates a malach. That means when a person does something, like it says in Pirkei Avos, a malach is created. When a person says something, a malach is created. When a person thinks something, malachim are being created. A davar chiyuni mamish. Mamish, a living creature, can be formed by a person's machshav. In Samach Beis, in Sichos Aran Samach Beis, again, Rabbi Nachman begins by talking about the significance of machshava. Da, you should know. She yesh b'vnei adam segulos gedolos. Man has tremendous potential, tremendous powers. Ki yecholin lifol ayedei machshavta mashahim choshem. Va'afilo hayakros chas v'shalom huba machshavas b'nei adam. Even the markets, the fluctuations of the markets, yakros means inflation. If the market value of something is going to shift, a lot of that shifts because of the way that people think. Now, partially that's true in a very natural way, that whatever, if people are thinking positively about something, it's going to increase its market value. But Menachem is also on a metaphysical level. When a person thinks positively about something, you have a positive hashpah on it. And when you think negatively about something, you have a negative hashpah on it. So says Rabbi Nachman, when a person comes into Rosh Hashanah, when a person comes to the Yom HaDin, comes to Bimamlech LeMelech, it's very important, if you're smart, says Rabbi Nachman, you're going to make sure that what? That you attach your mind to very positive thoughts. If a person thinks on Rosh Hashanah, I'm glad I'm going to be Zocha B'din this year. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me good things this year. So that will help shape that reality that Hashem will in fact give that person a Ksiva and a Chasima L'chaim and will give him all the good things that he wants. So if a person is a Chacham, Rabbi Nachman says, a person needs to be a Chacham. She'yakshov rach machshavos tovos, she'yetiv Hashem Yisbarach imanu. To think only positive things. And again, that will shape a person's reality. Look at this next line in Sichos Aran. U'tzrichim lios sameach b'Rosh Hashanah, gan tzrichim livkos b'Rosh Hashanah. Yonatan and I were talking in the car ride back to Tinek yesterday. It's a little chazara, some of the points we spoke out in the car yesterday. But look what Rabbi Nachman says here. On Rosh Hashanah, a Jew, on the one hand, needs to be happy, to be besimcha. But gam tzrichin livkos b'Rosh Hashanah. A person also needs to cry on Rosh Hashanah. We know what the Arizal writes in the Drushe Rosh Hashanah in the Akdama. It's quoted even by some of the Achronim in their writings of Halacha, that a person who doesn't cry on Rosh Hashanah, A person, right? The Rav Chaim Vital brings from the Arizal, Noag Moirizal Livchos Harbe. Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Drushe Rosh Hashanah in the Akdama that the Arizal used to cry very much in Rosh Hashanah. And he writes that Mi She'ain Bechia Nofela Salav B'yama Elu. A person who does not cry a lot during Rosh Hashanah, during these days, Hu Ho Ra She'ain Nishmaso Haguna V'Shleima. It's an indication that his neshama is not in a good place. How could you not cry in Rosh Hashanah? And yet, Rabbi Nachman says at the same time, Tzrichin Lio Samech Rosh Hashanah. There's this very interesting conflict in Halacha. Can I fast on Rosh Hashanah? Must I eat on Rosh Hashanah? Should I celebrate on Rosh Hashanah? How about the Lashon of the Torah? The famous words of the Torah, Tavkuf Pei Aleph, where the Torah says that what? That on Rosh Hashanah, we come into Rosh Hashanah, unlike the nations of the world, who come to a din, and they're frightened and they're scared. What do? We're lovesh, we dress in white, we cut our hair, right? The Lashon of the Torah is, we trim our beards, right? It's Maila. We come into the Yom Noram with confidence, says the Torah. Why? Because we're absolutely sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a nes for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vadai going to do good things for us. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. If you think about good things, if you focus on the positivity of the day, then vadai, things are going to be good. And yet, we're living with this terrible struggle, this terrible inner confusion. Is Rosh Hashanah a happy day? Or is Rosh Hashanah a sad day? Or is it both? Is it a time of pachad, of yira, of bechia? Is it a time of simcha? Is it a time for a suda, a celebration? On the one hand, we don't say halal. The Gemara says, Sifrei Chaim u'Meisim are open. How can you sing halal? On the other hand, again, there are so many aspects of the day where we have a certain confidence in the day. So I want to share with you a chassam sofer. You have to know this chassam sofer. This is an unbelievable chassam sofer. It's printed in the Chassam Sofer al Torah, but if you have a newer edition, you're not going to find it in that edition. It's also in Drush's Chassam Sofer. It's a Drush that the Chassam Sofer has for Chav Zayin Elam. That's what it's called. Drush L'Chav Zayin Elam. And in the middle of that Drush, he's explaining the Pasuk in Nechemiah. The Pasuk in Nechemiah, which indicates that Rosh Hashanah is a happy day, exactly. Ched Vas Hashem Himu Uschem. Right? Don't be sad. Go and eat. Go and enjoy. Ched Vas Hashem, the rejoicing of Hashem, He ma'uzchem is your strength. Listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. The Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Him lichuni aleichem, kedei sheyal zichronechem lefanei letova. Make me melech, so that I'll be able to remember you, and inscribe you for good on Rosh Hashanah. So listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. It's gevaldik what Klal Yisrael does. How are we zocha b'din on Rosh Hashanah? What should be the natural state of Rosh Hashanah? Why is Nechemiah saying, go eat, go enjoy, go celebrate? Because most people feel like that's not appropriate for the day. That's why you think mechazik them. It's okay to rejoice. Ched Vas Hashem Himu Uschem. The celebration of Hashem will be your salvation, will be your source of strength. Listen to what Chassam Sofer writes. He says, on Aleph Tishrei, Shehu Yom Genusya L'chol Olam Kula. Aleph Tishrei is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expanding His Malchus, extending His Malchus over the entire world. It's the day that the Melech is being coronated. Ach le'umas zehu yom cherdas adin. On the one hand, the king is celebrating. On the other hand, we should be trembling. U'tchila l'yimei ha'tshuva. These are the days of tshuva. Hashem is scrutinizing our every action, our every behavior. Of course we should be afraid. V'im lo achshav emasai. And if I don't petition Hashem now, if I don't fight for my life now, then when? Im lo achshav emasai. V'roi livchos. U'lispalel. U'levakesh rachamim v'tachanunim. So what would be a natural way to spend the day? Crying, begging, talking about myself and everything that I need. And yet, what does Klal Yisrael do? Says the Chassam Sofer. Anachnu nashlich nafshenu mineged shelo lisatzei b'yom ched vas Hashem Elokei Yisrael v'yom genus Yisrael. But the king's having a big celebration. From the king's perspective, the king's having a party. The king is reasserting himself. Personally, I'm terrified that I don't fit into his kingdom. So personally, I want to focus on myself. I want to focus on making sure the king doesn't say off with his head. I want to make sure that I am found favorable in the eyes of the king. And I want to focus on myself on this day. But you know what I do? You know what all Klal Yisrael does? Klal Yisrael's mevatel himself to the Melech. Hashem's making a party. We should be scared, and we are scared. But you know what? We suppress our feelings, in order to celebrate with Hashem. Yom Gnusya Shalo Nismach Imo V'Yavor Aleinu Ma. This is the day when we have so many things that we need to ask for. But you know, we're willing to sacrifice Mesiras Nefesh, everything that we want, everything that we need, just to focus on you, Hashem, to be Mamlech the Melech. Amnam Zehu Gufei Goreim Rachem Yoser Mikama Ta'anesos Biros HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheim Einam Chosim Abakashos Chayim. But this, in fact, becomes the greatest salvation for Klai. So why? Nu Chaver, why? What's Chassam Sofer saying? Because when Hashem sees that you're willing, when you're so desperate from all your averos and you have so much you need to work out, there's so many things you need to fix for yourself, so many things you need to ask and beg for yourself, and yet you don't focus on that at all, you focus on being Mamlech the Melech. So says the Chassam Sofer, when Hashem sees such a thing, that itself creates such a rachmanus. That creates such a feeling of ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more than fasting and more than your crying. That Hashem sees, well, you're making me the focus of your life. You're celebrating my kingdom. You're putting aside, they're not interested in fighting for their own lives. They're only interested in being Mamlech the Melech. And therefore, when Hashem sees such a thing, Hashem says, wow, that's unbelievable. It says Chassam Sofer, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says what? Hamlichuni aleim b'yom tchilas malchusi. Anoint me. Inaugurate me. Coronate me. Celebrate me, says Hashem, on the day of my malchus. Kedei sheyale zichronechem al yedei zeh lefanei letova. By focusing on the malchus and not focusing on your personal needs, says Chassam Sofer, that causes a great hisoros of goodness in Shemayim. And therefore, that's what the Navi is saying. That's what Nechemiah, rather, is saying. Nechemiah is not part of the Navi, it's part of Ksuvim. That's what Nechemiah is saying in Paraches Pasuk Yud. Haynu al tisatzvu ki chedvas Hashem hi gore mu'uzcha. The celebration of Hashem is mu'uzcha, that becomes your strength. So naturally, you'd want to spend the day crying. But look how you sacrifice. Look how you come into it. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying in the opening line. Make sure you're thinking about positive things. Make sure you're focusing on the goodness of the day. And you'll see that'll work out in your favor. But then Rabbi Nachman goes on and he says, but again, you're grappling with these two worlds. On the one hand, you feel very overwhelmed. You feel very frightened. You're thinking about that Arizal, that if I don't cry in Rosh Hashanah, it's a sign that I'm not in a good place. My Neshama is not Hagun and Shlema. On the other hand, I'm thinking about the Torah and Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph. I'm thinking about how I'm supposed to sacrifice Chedvas Hashem Himu Ischem to focus only on the positivity of the day. Rabosai, in life, we're always grappling with these two things. We're always, as Jews, we're always living between these two worlds. On the one hand, we feel like we want to be crying. On the other hand, we know that there's an obligation to always be celebrating. In Tehillim, you find two psukim, exactly the same and exactly the opposite. You have in Tehillim Parakuf, Ivdvas Hashem, Bisimcha. And you have Tehillim Parak Beis, Ivdvas Hashem, right? V'yira, V'gilu Barada. So on the one hand, you have Serv Hashem with Simcha. On the other hand, you have Serv Hashem with Yira. So which is it? Is it time for Yira and a time for this and a time for that? Or maybe David Melch is saying that it's not a contradiction. That it's possible for a Jew to live on the one hand with Yira and on the other hand with Av at the exact same time. There's this unbelievable blend that's taking place between Yira and Av. That's why the Sfarim say, if you take the word Yira and Av, if you write out the word Yira and the word Ava, right? You say Yira on top of Ava, but also they're interwoven. Ava, Yira. Okay, the same thing is true with Bilam and Amalek, Mitzad Hara, that they could also be woven together. If you put Amalek on top of Bilam, you have again Amalek and you have Bilam in both directions. Because there's this tremendous blend that's taking place between Ava and Yira, Ivdus Hashem B'Yira, and Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha. And again, Rabbi Nachman says, Tzrich and Lios, it needs to be both. You need to be smiling, and you need to be crying at the same time. Rabbi said, why do I say this piece is so super relevant today? Because in light of what's taking place in Eretz Yisrael, right, as Jews, especially what took place over Zman Simchasenu, where precious Yidden were being killed by the Risham, Yimach Shavuot V'Zichram, right? And on the one hand, so many people were feeling, this is Zman Simchasenu, I just want to cry. I'm supposed to dance on Simchas Torah. And yet, if you saw the words that the mother of the Henkins shared, right, how she so desperately asked people, please don't let the loss of our children, the loss of this precious couple, don't let it, God forbid, take away from the Simcha of the Torah. In fact, use it to enhance the Simcha of the Torah. Use that sadness, those tears, to celebrate even more. I'll show you an amazing vart that I found in the Sefer Imrei Tzadikim. In the Imrei Tzadikim on page 16, listen to this. It says that when Rav Eliyahu Zidichover was maspid his father, Rav Yitzchak Isaac of Zidichov, he gave the following hesped. We just read it on Kohelet, and it was amazing that we read this. We dafka read this. Kohelet, which itself is such a strange thing. It's Masiv Chaseinu, when we're reading Psukkim about it, everything's Hevel Havala. So what is it? Is the world a pathetic, depressing place where I should just walk around crying, feeling broken all the time? Or should I just be, you know, Yivtos Hashem B'Simcha, right? To always be happy. Which is it? Rabbi Nachman says, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Shorish of the year, Tzrichin V'Tzrichin, you need both. Because a Jew always needs both. A Jew on the one hand always feels like he wants to cry, on the other hand he has to feel like he always wants to rejoice. And he has to be able to do the same thing at the same time. So listen to what the Zidichover said about his father when he was maspid him. He says, if you look in Kohelet in the third parak, where it's Eisla this, Eisla that, right? Eisla ledes, ve'eisla mus. Eisla v'chos, ve'eisla schok. Eisla hov, ve'eisla snow. He says, you'll notice, by all of the Eisla this, Eisla that, it always has a lamed. It's always Eisla this and Eisla that, which is the one phrase in all of those expressions that does not have a lamed. Eis sefod, ve'eis rekod. It doesn't say Eis lispod, ve'eis lirkod. It says Eis sefod, ve'eis rekod. Where's the lamed? So listen to what he says. Amazing thing. So first of all, let me tell you the famous Vart from the Vilna Gaon, because you should know this, it's also very Yesodistic, you have to know. What does the Vilna Gaon explain? And truth is, the Avud Raham, already hundreds of years earlier, actually said this idea. What's the famous idea from the Vilna Gaon? Why is there no Lamed by Eis Vod, Eis Rekod? Anyone know this Vart? The Gra explained, and again, the Avud Raham has it as well, by Dinei Birchas Erison. The Avud Raham and the Gra both explain that Lamed is Meramis to what does the word Lamed mean? Every Jewish letter also is a word. Right? Lamed means limud, to learn. What do we learn? We learn Torah. So Eis Svod, Eis Rekod is lacking the Lamed. Why? Because there's two times in the calendar year, or two events that come up time and again, where a Jew puts aside his Lamed, puts aside his limud, in order to engage in something else. What is that? Eis Svod, the Eis Rekod. That Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lo Tzas Hameis, we're Mevatlin Talmud Torah to be maspid a person, to take care of the burial of the dead. And we're also Mevatlin Talmud Torah for Achlas Haskala, for a celebration. Eis Svod, Eis Rekod. There's no Lamed. There's no Lamed present by a time of mourning and a time of dancing. Because again, like the Gemara says in Ksubas and Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Gimel, right? We're Mevatlin Talmud Torah for Tzas Hameis and for Achlas Haskala. Good? Let me just add a very sweet vart. There's a sefer called Kemotzei Shaul Rav. I'm sure some of us have seen it before. So the author, the one who has compiled this sefer on Chumash, brings b'shem his father. He says, that perhaps, that lamed, once you know the secret from the Gra of the lamed and the Avud Raham, he says, maybe that explains the pasuk that we read not long ago in Parshas Nitzavim. If you notice the Parshas Nitzavim, right, the pasuk says, "Vayitshem Hashem me'al ad masam ba'afu v'chemu v'ketzav gadol." Well, God's brother is going to throw us out of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to get very angry at us, kick us out of the land. "Vayashlichem el Eretz acheres kayom azeh." Remember the pasuk portion that's up in Parachav Tes, pasuk of Zayin. "Vayashlichem el Eretz acheres." Now, what's funny about the word "Vayashlichem"? That's a big lamed in it. So it says Rabbi Rosenthal, the author of Kamotzei Shaul Rav, in the name of his father. He says, maybe the big lamed in the word Vayashlichem is telling us a beautiful thing about Klal Yisrael. That Vayashlichem al Eretz Acheres, that even when the Jewish people are kicked out into Galus, what happens? In Galus, there's a big lamed. It's an amazing thing that Dafka, in Galus, sometimes you have a riboy of Torah. It's Dafka in the Galus, right? We go to a place called Bavel, and all of a sudden Talmud Bavli emerges. It's Dafka, as the Shem Yishmuel points out in several places. Dafka after the Chorban. Right, Dafka after the Chorban, Torah Shebaal Peh really flourished. That sometimes, in the more difficult situations, that's Dafka, the place where Torah starts to flourish. Ki lo si shakach mi pi zaro, the Torah should never be forgotten. So the Torah is being merame, is that Dafka of Ashlichem, el Eretz Acheres, we got kicked out of the land. There's a big lamed to say that what? That sometimes in the most broken situations, such good things happen. But again, that's Eis Svod, Eis Rekod. So let's go back now to what the Zidichover said. Listen to what he said. So he was maspid his father's father. He says, so where's the lamed? That's the Gra. So says the Imrei Tzadikim on page 16. Zidichover said, why is it there's no Lamed by Svod and Rakod? Listen to what he said. He said, by all the other, a time for this and a time for that, it's either or. It's a time to love or a time to hate. Those two are opposites. It's either a time to love or it's a time to hate. It's a time, lata'at, it's a time to plant, or it's a time to uproot planting. Those are two opposites. It's a time of war, it's a time of peace. Again, opposites. It's either or. It's a time to be born or it's a time to die. You don't have those two things at the same time. Right? He says, what's the one thing on the list, right, where you could have the two things at the same time? He says, Eis Svod, Eis Rakod. Now let me show you how he explains it, but it's very obvious how we want to explain it. He says, he quotes from Chazal, that when the neshama leaves this world, it's Eis Svod, Eis Rakod. Mamish, at the same time. What's the Eis Svod? Eis Svod is what he's saying, my holy father, Rav Yitzchak Isaacal Zidichover, has left this world, and I'm crying, I'm broken, I'm giving a hesped. This is a quote from his hesped. He says, but I'm also aware of the fact that there's dancing taking place right now. Where is dancing taking place? In Shemayim, at the same moment that the people down below are so broken, we're crying, that we're misavlim, we're crying, mekonanim, we're mourning, right? That the tzaddik is avad miitanu. But in Shemayim, they're dancing with the tzaddik. They're welcoming that tzaddik into the Gan Eden Ha'elyon. They're inviting that tzaddik into the heavenly palace with great fanfare and great excitement. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Das Tezvav. The Gemara in Megillah says, Tzaddik avod ledoro avod. When a tzaddik passes away, who's suffering? Do you feel bad for the tzaddik? You feel bad for that tzaddik who's moved on to the Olam HaEmes? You don't feel bad for him. Tzaddik avod ledoro avod. When the tzaddik is gone, right, the generation's in pain. Because we no longer have a connection to that tzaddik. And the Gemara gives a mashal. Gemara says, mashal la'adam sha'av zelo margalit. It's like a person who loses a precious stone. Kol makom shehi margalit shema. Wherever that pearl is, wherever that diamond ring, a woman loses her diamond ring. So who's in pain? She's in pain. The diamond ring is still a diamond. The diamond could have slipped off her hand, lying in a puddle of mud, but the diamond's still a diamond. Be'etzem, it's still a diamond. She's upset that she lost her diamond engagement ring. Lo avda el labala. The owner is the one who's in pain. So he said, Eis Svod, Eis Rakod. There's no lamed as if to say that these two things could take place at the same time. That there could be an Eis Svod at the same time as Eis Rakod. But Rabosai, based on what Rabbi Nachman is saying, and based on the experience that many of us probably had this past year on an Eis Rakod, when these families have not yet even sat Shiva for Jews who were killed simply for being Jews, right? And on the one hand, there's a feeling of Eis Svod. It's a pachad, it's a very sad time. And I don't know how to do anything other than to be bothered by what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, being anxious and nervous and focused on Eretz Yisrael. And at the same time, but it's a Jew can't walk around all day crying. A Jew has to be able to celebrate at the same time. And Rabbi Nachman's saying a Jew has to live. Rosh Hashanah sets the tone for the whole year that yes, you're going to live with both of these feelings at the same time. You're going to be crying all the time and you're going to be laughing all the time. Like Rabbi Akiva at the end of Maseches Makos. Remember the story? Everyone's crying, Rabbi Akiva's laughing. So you think, everyone's crying, Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Well, you don't think Rabbi Akiva was also crying? Rabbi Akiva was crying and he was laughing. That's what the Marsha writes on that Gemara. The Marsha says that Rabbi Akiva, on the one hand, was tearing Kriya, as he should be, looking at the Chorban of Yerushalayim, and yet he was also laughing. That was the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. It's not that Rabbi Akiva was ignoring reality. Rabbi Akiva was mourning the Chorban. He also saw the fox running around in Kodesh Kedashim. And he was tearing Kriya over it. But he was tearing Kriya with a smile on his face. You realize the nations of the world can't understand such. That's a Jewish idea. To be able to be big enough to live in two worlds at the same time. To be able to have Ivduas Hashem Biyira in one pocket, Ivduas Hashem Besimcha in the other pocket, and Mamish the exact same time. To be beyond this world and yet to be also connected to this world. When we were driving home yesterday, I told Yonatan, we mentioned the story in Reb Shlomo's Lamed Vav. There's a story on page 77. It's such a Yesodistic story. The story goes that there was once a terrible gezerah. I'm sure some of you remember the story. There was a terrible gezerah, and the Rebbe Reb Melech was davening, and he was fasting, and he was crying, and he was trying to do everything, petitioning the Shemayim to put an end to the gezerah, to save the community. After a couple of days of fasting, and crying, and bechios, and screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he passed out. Mamash from exhaustion, he just collapsed. And he saw his Rebbe, the Magid of Mezrich, in a dream, in a chalom, in a nevuah. And he says to the Magid, he says, you're no longer in this world. You're in the world of truth. And you see what's happening to Klal Yisrael. Why aren't you fighting for us? Don't you see this terrible gezeirah? Don't you realize our lives are in danger? Why aren't you doing why aren't you doing something? Don't you care about me, your Talmud, my community? Don't you realize what's happening here? And the Maggid says back to him, as you would expect, the Maggid says, from Shemaim I don't see a gezeirah. From this world I only see the goodness of it. I can't ask Hashem to stop the gezeirah because I don't see a gezeirah. I only see the good. I only see how everything fits in. And that part of the story so far, you know, there's many stories like that. But the next line is what's so chashuv. So the Rebbe Melech says back to the Maggid of Mezrich, so maybe what? So then maybe I should stop my crying and my fasting. Meaning, if you're telling me be'etzem it's good, that if something bad is going to happen to the community, it's meant to be, that if Hashem is going to make a holocaust, don't worry about it, kamzu l'tova, nothing to worry about. If Iran's going to get, you know, weapons, don't worry about it, it's fine, it's all part of Hashem's plan. And just, you know, just smile and go about your business. So says the Veli Melech, should I just ignore the fact that there's a gezeirah? If you're telling me in Shemayim, it's all good. So should I stop my fasting? Should I stop my crying? Should I stop my tefillos? So what did the Maggid say to him? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. You have to engage in that reality as it is your reality. You can't ignore the reality as it is. You have to cry, and you have to scream, and you have to fast. And you have to beg a Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop the gezeirah. You also have to have in your back pocket the absolute awareness that if the gezeirah does come, right? That if something does happen, your Mechal Shabbos is to try to save these Jews. But if at the end of the day Hashem wants to take the lives of these Jews, even though you don't understand, in your back pocket, not in a cruel way, you should be crying. But in your back pocket, you're carrying a little bit of what? If it's Hashem B'Simcha. You're carrying a little bit of Gamzu L'Tov. You're carrying a little bit of Koma, David Rachman L'Tav of it. That everything Hashem does is for the best. I can't live with that outwardly. I'd be callous. It'd be so cruel to say, someone passes away, don't worry, it's a Ace recorded, Shemayim, they're celebrating. Esfo, down here we're crying. But there's two things that take place at the same time without the Lamed. Those two things, mamish, those two things can be taking place at the same time. There's another unbelievable story. When Rabbi Elio Lopian came to Slobodka and gave a Musar Shmus, he gave a fiery Musar Shmus. They have to understand, the Bachim in Slobodka are very chashuv individuals. This was not, you know, this was not a beginner's yeshiva. The people there were very fine, refined, distinguished people. That's how the altar shaped them. And Rabbi Elio Lopian came in and he gave this fiery Shmus. And the altar Slobodka comes over to him afterwards and he screams at him. He says, how can you speak to these Bachim like that? Don't you realize who these Bachim are? You can't speak like that. You can't give them Musar like this. So Rav Huttner, who was a Talmud in Slobodka at the time, said to the altar, but I was watching you during the Shmuz and I saw that you were crying. I saw how moved you were by the Shmuz. So what are you telling me? You're telling him this was totally inappropriate, the Shmuz has no place here. I saw that it resonated with you so much, you were literally crying during the Shmuz. Listen to what the altar said back to him. The altar said, a thing and its opposite, these are among the ways of God Himself. A thing and its opposite, these are among the ways of God Himself. I mean, the altar said, it's not a stira. That's why the altar is such a big Talmidim. Because they were Talmidim who could live with what? With crying and letting the Shmuz resonate, at the same time feeling no shaychus to that Shmuz. That it's okay. I could be moved by it and still say it's inappropriate. I could be crying on the inside and still dancing on Simchas Torah. It's not a contradiction for a Yid. A Yid can live in those two worlds at the same time. Ace Svod, Ace Rakod. I can mamish be in those two worlds at the exact same time. And again, it's a unique thing that Klal Yisrael has. Rav Schwab writes in the Mayan Beis HaShoev on Parshas B'Shalach. Everybody knows the Gemara Megillah, Lokarav Zal Zeh Kol HaLaila. That when the Jews were crossing the Yamsuf, right, and it was clear that the Egyptians were about to be destroyed, the Gemara says, Bikshu Malach Yesharis Lomar Shira. The Malach Yesharis wanted to what? They wanted to celebrate. Ha! The Egyptians, they got what they deserve. They're gone. They're dead. Hashem says back to the Malachim, what? Masa Yadai, Tovin Bayam, Batemom Shira. My creations. These Egyptians, they may be evil, but they're my creations. These Egyptians are drowning in the sea, and you want to sing Shira? Nu chaver, what's the obvious kasha? What's the kasha? Klal Yisrael sings here right after. Oz Yashir, Gevaldik, the Egyptians are gone. So Hashem says to the Malachim, don't you dare sing Shira, Masayel Tovim Bayam. Don't you dare sing Shira. And a moment later, right? A moment later, Klal Yisrael's singing Shira. What's the pshat? So listen to what he says. Says Rav Schwab. He says, Shir is milashon erenu velo ata ashurenu velo karuv. Pasuk where in Balak? Ashurenu is the lashon of what? Of seeing something. Shira, to be able to sing Shira requires a certain perspective. What perspective does a person need to be able to sing Shira? Iafshar lomar Shira, elim ke mistakel heite b'ma'ora, v'yodeya b'tivo muhuso v'tamo. You can only really sing about it. You can talk about it, right, if you superficially understand it. But if you want to really sing about it, you want to sing about an experience, you have to have a real deep connection to that experience. Why couldn't the Malachim sing Shira? Listen to what he says. And you'll see how a Yid is better than, bigger and better than a Malach because of this. The Malachim couldn't sing Shira because a Malach has to be focused, like it says in the Medrash, on a single mission at one time. That ain Malach oseh shnei shlichos bevas achas. A Malach can only focus on one thing at a time. A Malach can't see the big picture. A Malach can't live with one pocket of Ivdus Hashem b'simcha and one pocket of Ivdus Hashem b'yira. It's not possible for a Malach. But a Jew, is able to and has to live with those conflicting feelings at the same time. A Jew has to live in the world of Eis Svod, Eis Rekod at the same time. And therefore, at least the Rosh Schwab says, Ma she'en kein b'nei Adam, she'ef shalem mitzad echo litzdar al avdon harishon. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael could celebrate the downfall of the Egyptians. U'mitzad acher gam kein ef shalem lismolach b'ma she'kodesh baruch hu ma'av rishon. They could feel the pain over the loss of the Rishon. And on the other hand, they could celebrate the downfall of those Rishon. We could sit at the Pesach Seder and take a few drops out of our cup for those evil Egyptians, Yimach Shemam V'Zichra, because a Jew is able to live that way. A Malach can't live that way. But we can. We have that broader perspective. And therefore we're able to sing Shira. We're able to be bigger than the situation at hand. To see mamish the whole picture, everything that's taking place. To be able to cry and to laugh at the exact same time. Rav Shlomo in the Karlbach Haggadah has a beautiful pshat. We're doing some work in our basement, so my Haggadahs are all packed up, so I wasn't able to look it up. But I saw I had it in my notes. Rav Shlomo has a beautiful pshat. Hazorim bedima berina yiktsaru. Right? Hazorim bedima berina. That there's a concept of bedima berina. That there could be tears that are a blend of dima, of crying tears, mixed with joy. And dafka, great things can be born out of it. And only a Jew can understand that. And therefore Rabbi Nachman says, Tzrichin Lios, it has to be that a Jew, at the same time, on the one hand, the Rosh Hashanah, is crying his eyes out, and at the same time, he's celebrating, he's filled with simchas, he's mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to read you one more piece from the Sefer Menuchas HaNefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh in Chelek Beis, on page 54, he also talks about this duality, this bechia coupled with simcha. And he says, here's how it really works at Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say who the author is. I don't know. It was one of these svarim that was published anonymously. And I don't know. Unlike the Bilvavi, where the author eventually revealed himself. I don't know. I'm not sure who wrote this. It's very good, though. It's a very, very good sefer. So he has here in Chelek Beis, he quotes from the Tanya. Quotes from the Baal Tanya. But the Baal Tanya says that it's possible again that there could be a simcha and a eim at the same time. Sheshneim believe echad, simcha mitzar echad, b'chia mitzar echad. You can have simcha on one hand, and you can have b'chia on the other hand. So he quotes in the Mittler Rebbe, Hadmor Amtsai, who explains as follows. When a person's doing tshuva, right, and now we're really coming to a Rosh Hashanah Torah, but listen carefully, because it's important to know. When a person's doing tshuva, there's two types of tears. And if it seems hard to cry them at the same time, so cry them one after the other. Maybe it makes a Rinachman a little more understandable. He says a person is crying two types of tears. Shemikodem bocha baal tshuva. He's paraphrasing from the Derech Chaim of the Mittler Rebbe. That at first the baal tshuva cries b'chia shel merirus. At first the baal tshuva cries what? Tears of terrible bitterness. Why is the baal tshuva so bitter? Because he's recognizing how far away he is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al shemargish v'chuko me'or aloki, u'mitztar al zeh ad shenogei l'nekudas yaduso mamish. It pains him terribly in the essence of his being. How did I become so far from Hashem? And he recognizes what? How distant he is from himself. So listen to what he says. V'yadua, da'atzar va'oneg heim b'mishkol echad mamish. That pain and pleasure operate mamish parallel to one another. To whatever degree something is pleasurable, that's how pain they are when they don't have that pleasure, and vice versa. So he says, this Jew feels this terrible, terrible bitterness of being far from Hashem. He's crying over it. But what comes out of those tears? Yeshuv zocha l'rachim gedolim min hashamayim, because he's doing tshuva. V'yismach nafsho b'Hashem. And then he's bocha what? A b'chiyah shel simcha. He gives a mashal. He says, imagine, a melech has a son who's been far from the kingdom, or the melech's been far from the kingdom, and they finally get back together. So to whatever degree they were pained by the separation, that's how much they're going to enjoy the reunification. To whatever degree they cried bitter tears in their separation, they're going to cry tears of joy when they come back together. And therefore he says, Hare beiz hafachim elu ke'echar mamish hema v'ha b'hatalia. That to whatever degree a person could cry tears of pain, a person can enjoy tears of joy. And ha b'hatalia is mamish, one and the same thing, working hand in hand in a remarkable way. Okay, let's finish the piece in Sichos Haran. Let's go back into Sichos Haran Chaf Aleph now. Va'amar. Sorry, line before that. Barash Hashanah. B'yom HaRishon Tzrichin L'ma'et B'dibor Ma'od Ma'od. On Rosh Hashanah, a person needs to limit his speech very, very much. Very, very much. You know, before I read one more line, I'm sorry. I just want to read you a tiny piece from Rabbi Nachman L'kutim Aran Kufayin Hay. Because he brings a remez there that's very nogea to this. Okay? Especially on that last point from the Mitla Rebbe. Listen to what Rabbi Nachman writes in L'kutim Aran Kufayin Hay. And then we'll finish the piece in Sichos Haran. Ikar malas habechia, hu kishehi machma simcha v'chedva. The primary success of tears are going to be tears that come from joy. Again, there's this crazy blend. Rabbi Nachman said this Torah, by the way, Kufayin Hay, in 1804, Shabbos Shuva, right after he found out that his daughter, Fega, had passed away. Now, he wasn't with her. She had passed away more than 30 days earlier. So the halacha is in Yaradeya Tafbez, that when a person hears about a loss of a relative after 30 days, a shmua rechoka, you only sit shiva for a very short period of time. So Rabbi Nachman sat shiva very briefly, and then he gave over this Torah. And he said, Ikr malas habachia, kishi machmas simcha v'chedva. The best tears are tears that come out of joy. That there's this blend of a tear, a sad tear that comes from joy. V'afilu hacharata, tov ma'ot shetia machmas simcha. When a person has charata, when a person regrets doing averus, you should be able to have regret from a place of simcha. What do you mean? I'm thinking about my averus. Why am I happy? The answer is, shemei rov simchaso b'Hashem yizbach, to the degree that I'm celebrating now my newfound relationship with Hashem, who mischarit, who misgagei ma'od, I feel this tremendous hisrakshus over the fact that what? Shemarit negdo b'yam harishonim, that I rebelled against Hashem previously. Who misor lo b'chiyah machmas rov simcha. And Rabbi Nachman gives a remez. He says, "Bechia is Rashi Tevos Tehillim Peites. B'Shimcha Yegilun Kol Hayom. B'Shimcha Beis Yegilun Yud Kol Chaf Hayom Hey is Rashi Tevos Bechia. That in your name I rejoice all day. That's tears." And he goes on and he explains Al Derech Kabbalah based on Shemos Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, "Sheikra bechiyah shtiyamach basimcha b'shmo yisbach." To whatever degree I recognize the name of Hashem, the essence of Hashem, that's how much I feel a simcha in my life, and that's how much I should cry over the fact that I've rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch. But again, it's like the Mitla Rebbe said, "Hal b'hal tali." It's mamish one and the same. And a Jew has to live, and it's such a this piece is so no gear to our world today, where sometimes you look at Klai Yisrael and you just want to cry, and sometimes you look at Klai Yisrael and you just want to celebrate. Nikam chi Yisrael. That who acts the way that we do in the most trying of circumstances? It's gavaldik, you want to just celebrate. But again, ace svod, ace rakod is not a contradiction. Yir and Ava can go hand in hand. Okay, let's conclude the piece in Sichos Haran. Rosh Hashanah b'yom harishon tzrichin l'mayit b'dibor ma'od ma'od. On Rosh Hashanah, especially the first day, when the din is more kasha, as we know from the Svarim, a person has to be very, very careful to minimize his speech. Someone told me they went to a Simchas Beis HaShoeva in Bar Park, a very secret Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that one of the members of the Abuchatzera family, a big mekubel who happens to be in America, someone who was very much below the radar, but was in for a procedure and then was here for, kind of got stuck here for a while, has been recovering here. So I have a Swarty friend who had a connection over there, and somehow he got into the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. He said, this tzaddik doesn't speak from, I don't know if it was from Elul, or certainly from Rosh Hashanah, through after Sukkot is over. Through after Shmini Atzeres. After Simchas Torah. He does not speak. How does he communicate? How does he communicate? He like writes letters on the table. So this friend of mine who went to at the schus to meet the tzaddik, right, wanted to get a bracha from him, wanted to interact with him, wanted to hear some eitz from him about specific things, and he was writing out letters. He was literally like writing out words or gesturing with his hand. He mamish doesn't speak from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Except for tefillah, he doesn't say different Torah, he doesn't engage in any conversation. Mamish does not speak. So that's Rabbi Nachman saying here, on Rosh Hashanah at least, at the very least, on Rosh Hashanah, a person has to be very careful. Every word is being weighed precisely on Rosh Hashanah. And a person should be memayed his dibur very, very much. The Amar Sha'adim Gadol, all the more so on Adam Gadol, Tzarech Ledaktik Bezebi Oser, Hu Amar Vayehi, a tzaddik has the ability to say something and it becomes reality. On Rosh Hashanah, all the more so. So a person has to be so careful, a tzaddik has to be so medactic. Valkein hu eino omer biyom arishon afilu hapayit. Back mashiyos, Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. All the piyutim, which are tfilos. He says only what Rabbi Lazar HaKalir penned, the Rabbi Nachman would recite. But all the other piyutim, Rabbi Nachman wouldn't say, because even the piyutim, again, could be mamayit bedivor. Aval shara hapayit eino omer, machlas sha'odim gadol tzarech ledaktik oz biyoser, livli ledaber shum dibor sheino mochvach. Because the tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman, held himself to be a tzaddik, and he certainly was, by his assessment and by ours. And therefore he was so careful not even to say parts of the tefillah that he felt were extra. Because again, every word in Rosh Hashanah is weighed so, so much. I'll just leave you. I want to just conclude by reading you a beautiful essay that Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisenman from Pesach wrote in his book, The Elephant in the Room. And it really, it summarizes this whole piece that we learned today. It's called To Be the Square Rebbe. Okay, listen to this, Maisa. And again, I think this summarizes all the feelings that Klal Yisrael are feeling, again, especially in light of what's happening in Eretz Yisrael now. Where on the one hand, you're coming back to YU now, and you have to go about your life. Many of you are coming back from Eretz Yisrael. And there's this feeling like I'm abandoning Klal Yisrael and Eis Sarah. And now I'm coming back, and I'm sitting in the cap having lunch with my friends, while a Jew is walking the streets of Yerushalayim, looking over his shoulder to make sure that one of his militant cousins is not putting a knife into his back. Right? And there's this feeling of like, if it's Hashem b'simcha, if it's Hashem b'yira, what's the feeling right now? So listen to what Rav Eisenman Shlita from Pesach wrote in this book. I gave my word that I would not relate this story for 9 years. This year on March 27th, 9 years have gone by and my vow of silence has expired. I will never forget that March 27th, and I am sure most of you will never forget it either. March 27th, 2002, was the first night of Pesach. At about 2 p.m. on Erev Yom Tov, we heard the news. Chutzlar, she said. A suicide bomber had detonated an explosive in the middle of the Pesach Seder at the Park Hotel in Netanya. 30 were killed and 140 injured. Our last-minute Pesach preparations disappeared in a gush of tears. A few hours later, we painfully entered the shul to daven Maariv and to sing Hallel. Right, this is how we celebrate Gula. This is the only night of the year when Hallel is said in Shul. And we had just heard that 30 of our brothers and sisters had been massacred while sitting at their Pesach Seder. How could I face the Kehillah? No, here's a Rav coming into the Leil HaKadosh of Leil HaSeder. What's he going to say? What words of solace could I offer? How could I pretend that things were normal and that we must go on with our siddur while my own heart was broken? This was my predicament. The entire shul was looking to me for chizik. While inside, I was breaking up. As I ascended the bima and looked at the 200 or so mispalim who were looking to me for guidance and strength, I silently asked Hashem for His guidance and His strength. Suddenly, I was transported from Passaic, New Jersey to New Square, New York, to a time many years before when I attended the levaya of a square chassid. As I reached the square based medrash where the levaya was to be held, I noticed the square Rebbe standing next to the Aron, the casket. He was obviously very shaken and saddened by the demise of one of his beloved Hasidim. The Levaya began. The Rebbe spoke briefly, and then the Levaya proceeded to the cemetery. From the cemetery, I returned on foot to the Beis Medrash for Mincha and Maariv. As I emerged from the Beis Medrash after davening, I noticed a chuppah that had been erected exactly where the Aron had rested a short while before. In a matter of minutes, a crowd had gathered, and soon a chassan and a kallah were standing under the chuppah. I was telling Yonatan yesterday, one of the weirdest days of my life, one of the weirdest experiences of my life, was going straight from a funeral to a wedding. Anyone ever have that experience? It was such a strange thing. I went from a very sad levaya straight to a wedding of one of my friends. And it was such a strange, you literally go from crying 1 second, and then a minute later, you're making l'chaim with your friend at his chassan stish. And you have to dance as if a few hours earlier you weren't standing at a levaya. So says Rav Eisenman, he says, I was standing in the same spot where, in the exact same spot, where a short while earlier, there was a hesped for a person who was taken too early. Now a young chassan akaler standing there under the chuppah. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed the Rebbe standing next to the chuppah. As soon as the wedding ceremony concluded, he moved towards the chassan akaler and wished them a heartfelt mazel tov. I was amazed and astounded. Here the Rebbe stood wishing a new couple mazel tov with total sincerity and warmth, while just a short time before he had been feeling the pain and loss of a beloved chassid. How could that be? Was he a split personality? I realized that the Rebbe was teaching me a life lesson. And that precise lesson was what I was to convey to my flock on the night of March 27, 2002. I am sure that at the chuppah the Rebbe was still grieving over the loss of his beloved chassid. However, that grief did not preclude him from showing gladness and joy over the young couple's wedding. Armed with this inspiration, I looked out at my kehillim pesach. I ascended the beam and said, "Friends, I know you're in pain. I know your hearts are broken. However, we must not let our pain and suffering destroy the Seder for our wives and children. Our children have been preparing for months to show off tonight. Our wives have been cooking and cleaning to make this one night of the year so special. Tonight we must all be the Skver Rebbe. Although inside our hearts are pained and broken, outwardly we are joyous and cheerful. This is the avoda of tonight." I never thought I'd know how my words affected anyone. However, the very next morning, Mordechai, a congregant who never had anything serious to say, approached me and told me the following. "Rabbi, I don't want you to tell this to anyone for at least 9 years. In 9 years, I'll be 50 and then you could tell. But until I turn 50, I don't want my reputation as a jokester to be ruined. Last night when I came home, I was broken and crushed. I know you think I'm the clown in shul, but I have an elderly aunt and uncle who live in Netanya, and I know they go to one of the local hotels for Pesach. When I came home, I was in no mood to lead a Seder. I was in no mood to smile at my little daughter's recital of Manish Tana in Yiddish. But as she climbed on the chair and began to say the Manish Tana, the picture of the Skver Rebbe, standing next to the Aron of the Mace, and then an hour later under the chuppah entered my mind. Your words, 'Tonight we must all be the Skver Rebbe,' echoed in my mind. I bit my lip, smiled, and said to my daughter, 'Please sing, Rivkala. Please sing for us the Manish Tana. It is the most beautiful song in the world.' My daughter sang the Manish Tana, my wife, my mother-in-law, and even I had tears in our eyes. What difference did it make that my tears were tinged with sadness? What difference did it make that inside I was broken? My daughter only saw the smile, and that is all that matters. Thank you, Rabbi, for making this the most meaningful Seder of my life. Whatever your personal peckle of problems may be on the Seder night, you are the Skver Rebbe." So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha. Like Rabbi Nachman told us, again, to live on the one hand. It has to be. There's no other way about it. As Jews, we have to live on the one hand with a feeling that we need to cry, and at the same time to be able to celebrate. And Amir Tzashem, if we can strike that holy balance, that complicated balance that even the Malachi Asharis couldn't understand by the Yam, then Amir Tzashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe away all the tears of Klai Yisrael and Bizocha to see only Simcha with the Gula Shleim from Harabi Amir.